Okay, so we're in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Ches, chapter 28. And last week we covered the exciting episode where Shaul, who, with the Plishtim on the attack, he sees, you know, sort of the end is near. He doesn't know what to do. He tries to ask the Nevi'im, the prophets, and nobody, you know, is getting an answer. And he tries to ask what he calls chalomos, dream somehow, he tries to use, no answer. He tries to ask the Urim Betumim, the Kohen Gadol, and no answer. So finally he says, what am I going to do? He goes and he finds a woman who practices divination using Ov, Balas Ov. And he asks her, and she has a vision of Shmuel Hanavi. That's where he asks her to bring back Samuel, to bring back Shmuel. And as we saw, she was able to see Shmuel, and Shaul was not able to see Shmuel, but he was able to hear Shmuel, and that's what we're going to cover today, the psukim, what Shmuel tells Shaul. Now, we talked last week, you know, is Ov real, is it not? The Gaonim, Rav Shmuel Bar Chofni and Rav Sadia Gaon, some of the earliest commentaries learned, they understood they were very much rationalists, and they said, there's no such thing as Ov, it's not, or it doesn't really work. She was a trickster, she was a faker, and she was making the whole thing up. She was pretending to see Shmuel. Well, the different ways. Rav Shmuel Bar Chofni said she was making the whole thing up. She pretended to see Shmuel, and when the psukim that we're going to read today say that Shmuel said to Shaul, spoke to him, he says, Rav Shmuel Bar Chofni says, it's not true. That's not what really happened. She was just pretending that Shmuel was sending these messages.
She was a ventriloquist. Able to make her voice sound like
perhaps, or she was, or maybe it sounds like he's learning that's not even what was happening. She was just saying, this is what Shmuel said, you know, even without the ventriloquism. That's how he understands. She was just passing on, even though it says, and Shmuel said, but she was just saying what Shmuel was saying. That's how he learns. Rav Sadia Gaon said, no. It's true that Ov is fake. It's true that she can't actually bring back Shmuel HaNavi, but Hashem could. And Hashem surprised her. You know, this whole time she's been practicing this fake divination, and she's always making it up, and all of a sudden this time, someone actually appeared. It actually worked. Because Hashem made it that Shmuel HaNavi appeared. Nothing to do with Ov, but because Shaul needed an answer. Now the Radak questions that. He says that doesn't really make sense. Because Shaul had tried to get an answer from Hashem. He had tried to, you know, use the Urim Batumim and to try to use Nevi'im. So why all of a sudden would it work now that Hashem would actually send him an answer? So the Radak rejects that approach. And the Radak understands, no, it's classic Ov. Ov works, it's a real thing. And she was able to summon back Shmuel's spirit. And that's how Shmuel was able to come back and communicate with Shaul. Okay, so now we're going to pick up from, again, Perek Chaf Ches. And we're going to start from Pasuk.
Let me ask a question on that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Under that last point of view, what attributes or training do they think this woman would have had that she could have those abilities? Is this part of a prophetic ability that's innate, or is it something that...
I don't think so. It's a black magic, you know, of some sort. It's a sorcery. Yeah. It's a kochos hatuma. It's using impure powers, which... Again, if you're not a rationalist, if you're more of a Kabbalist, or like, you know, like Ramban and Radak, and I mean Radak, I think is sort of in the middle, but they understood that this was real. This, you know, that there's such thing as magic using impure forces
based on and training or
seemingly, yeah. If you know how to do it, right?
Witchcraft.
Like witchcraft, right?
Yeah,
witchcraft.
It could be something innate that some people can do.
Right. I don't know if it was. Yeah. I don't know too much about it, but
you don't practice it.
Right. Not yet.
Not yet. Right.
They have practiced the alpha
beginning. Samuel, bring him back. He needed an answer. He was trying to get an answer for what to do in battle, and there were no other options. So nothing else was working. So that's what he resorted to. Somewhere around there. So we're picking up from Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. So this is the first thing that Shmuel says to Shaul. Okay? Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. And Shmuel said to Shaul, Lama hirgaztani lehalos osi. Why have you, like, shaking me up to bring me back? And again, the way that the Shmuel Bar Chofni learned is that this is all fake. She's making up. The woman is saying that this is what Shmuel is saying. But that's, you know, an outlier interpretation. Most mefarshim, most commentaries understand that in some way or another, this was actually Shmuel speaking to Shaul. Either because she was practicing Ov and was capable of doing that, or because Hashem intervened and made it that Shmuel would actually come back and speak to Shaul in this specific situation. So Shmuel says, "What are you doing? Lama here gastani lahalo sosi. Why have you shaking me up to bring me back?" The Gemara we mentioned, I think, last week says that Shmuel was nervous when he first, you know, felt his neshama being drawn back to his body. He thought he was coming to face the day of judgment, a Yom Adin. And he was nervous about that. Why he was nervous? If he was such a righteous person, that's what righteous people do. You know, they even if you're super righteous, you know, then you're more nervous. You always have the fear of judgment in front of you. So that's what Shmuel was nervous was going on. But that's not what was going on in the end. It was Shaul. Vayomer Shaul. And Shaul said, Tsar li me'od. I'm in a very difficult situation. The Plishtim nelchamim bi. The Plishtim are at war with me. Ve'lokim sar me'alai. Ve'lo anani od. And God has left me. And he won't answer me. Gam bi'ad ha'neviim. He won't answer me through the neviim, through the prophets. Gam b'chalomos, and not through dreams. Ve'akroi alecha. Ve'hodiyeni ma'ese. So I've called to you that you should tell me what to do. Now you'll notice, you may recall, and I was just mentioning before, that when Shaul attempted to first ask Hashem before he resorted to Baal HaZov, he tried three things. He tried to ask the Chalomos, the dreams. He tried to ask Nevi'im, prophets. And he also tried the Urim Betumim, the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. Over here, when he speaks to Shmuel, he only mentions two of those things. Why doesn't he mention the Urim Betumim, that he asked the Urim Betumim as well? That he asked the Kohen Gadol?
It's his fault.
It's his fault, yeah? You're saying good, say better? He killed them, right? Because Shaul had, I mean, he didn't personally do it, but he sent people to destroy Nov Ira Kohanim. And so that's why there were no Kohanim. Well, there was still an Urim Betumim, but that's seemingly as a punishment for that. That's why he wasn't answered by the Urim Betumim. Shalom, Rabbi Schwartz. We just started a few minutes early because I have to leave early. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says, actually, we'll come back to the Gemara very shortly. We have to read a couple more psukim first. Yeah, so on a most simple level, and this is what the Gemara is going to say, the reason why Shaul did not mention to Shmuel about the Urim Betumim was because he was nervous that Shmuel would say, oh, you didn't get an answer about the Urim Betumim, why not? He says, oh, because I killed off Nov Ira Kohanim. I killed all the Kohanim in the city of Nov, so I'm being punished. So he was embarrassed about that.
Why do you ask the Urim Betumim in the beginning, in the first place, if there are no Kohanim?
No, so there was an Urim Betumim to ask. The way that the Mefarshim say over there is basically almost, he killed off most of the city of the Kohanim. There was one of the Kohanim named Eviasar, who was the Kohen Gadol who escaped, or he was the son of the Kohen Gadol, I don't remember exactly, but he escaped with the Urim Betumim. He joined David's band. So the way the Mefarshim say, Rashi, I think over there, says that Shaul sent a messenger to David, who was now in Eretz Plishtim, he was hanging out there. He sent a messenger to ask the Urim Betumim, which was currently with David. We'll see in the next parak or two parakim from now that David had the Urim and Tumim. He himself was asking the Urim and Tumim questions.
So these are the stones on the shoulder of the Kohen
Gadol? On the breastplate.
Oh, the Choshen.
The Choshen, yeah. On the Choshen. But the Urim and Tumim is the actual, I guess, really the name of Hashem that's inside the breastplate. That's what gives the answers, makes the stones flash. That was how they would get answers. So, but he was embarrassed because this is going to bring up the topic of Nov Ir HaKohanim. Okay, we'll come back to that thought shortly. Pasuk Tez Zayin, 16. Vayomer Shmuel, and Shmuel said, V'lama Tishaleni, why are you asking me? Vashem Sar Me'alecha, Hashem has left you. Vayihi Arech, and he is with your enemy. Or he sees you as an enemy. Different Mefarshim either learn that this is referring to that the Arech is saying, you know, Hashem sees you as an enemy, Shaul, or he's with your enemy, David. Either way, the word Arech here means enemy. We don't really see that other places. Rashi quotes a couple of places. The Mefarshim mention a couple other places where we see that. I saw in Mishpat Zav, he suggested that it's related to the word Reyacha, your friend. Like it's flipped around, it becomes enemy, Arech. In any event, so you'll notice that in Pasuk Tesvav, in verse Tesvav 15, so Shaul says, Ve'elokim sar me'alai. He uses the name Elokim. And then that Hashem has left him, he will use the name Elokim. In the next Pasuk, Shmuel says, Vahashem Sar Me'alecha, using that name, the Yudke Vavke. The difference is that Elohim is the name of Din, and Hashem is the name of Rachamim. So Shaul saying that Hashem has judged me, he's left me, and Shmuel is saying, yes, but it's out of Rachamim, ultimately. Ultimately, it's out of Rachamim, it's out of mercy. Pasuk Yudzayin, Vayas Hashem lo kasher diber biyadi. And Hashem did to him as he spoke in my hand, Shmuel says. Hashem did to him. Who's him? So it really depends how you learn the last words, the previous pasuk. As I said, Vayihi Arech, and he became an enemy, or he became with your enemy, could either refer to Shaul or to David. So if it refers to Shaul, and it's saying, you know, Hashem has made you like an enemy, so then, when it says "Vayas Hashem lo," when Hashem did to him "Kasher diber biyadi," as he spoke in my hand, so that would refer to Shaul. Hashem did to you, Shaul, that which Hashem said he would do. Or if it refers to David, because "Vayhi Arech" could mean that Hashem has joined your enemy, David. So then, "Vayas Hashem lo kasher diber biyadi" also means Hashem has done to him, like he said he was going to do. He's going to make David king. And it says, Vayikra Hashem es mamlacha miyadecha, and Hashem has torn the kingship from your hand. Vayitna l'reyacha l'David, and he's giving it to your friend, to David. So the Malbim here comments that Shmuel is really also, he's explaining to Shaul why Hashem is not answering him. He's explaining this to Shaul. And he's saying there's two reasons why Hashem might answer someone's request, you know, a king or a Navi. There's two reasons why Hashem might answer a request. Number one, if there's a chance for teshuva, a chance for repentance, so then Hashem will tell that person in order that he'll return. He'll take it to heart and he'll return. And it will remove the decree that's against him. That wasn't relevant here. Why? Because here, there's no chance of fixing the situation. Even if Shaul would do teshuva, it wouldn't change the situation. Because once Hashem has given a promise to someone for good, So a nevuah, a prophecy that's for good, Hashem doesn't take back. A prophecy that's for bad, tshuva can fix. But a prophecy that's for good, Hashem doesn't change. And since there was a prophecy for good for David, that David would become king, so that can't change. Even if Shaul tries to do tshuva, it's not going to change. So Shmuel is saying, first of all, that Hashem is following through with what he said. He can't take it back. He's not going to take it back, even if you do tshuva. And secondly, the next pasuk Yidches, verse 18, Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem. You didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. V'lasisa charon apo ba'amalek. And you didn't carry out Hashem's anger against Amalek. Al king hadavar hazeh asalucha Hashem ayom hazeh. Therefore, Hashem has done this day for you. So he's saying, secondly, the other reason why Hashem might answer someone is just to tell them why they're being punished. But you already know why you're being punished. Remember, I told you, Shmuel says, long ago, after you failed to destroy Amalek, not so long ago, actually, you know, but Shaul was not king for very long, but after you failed to destroy Amalek, so I told you that Hashem is going to tear the kingship away from you. And so that's being carried out. So what kind of answer are you looking for? You have no chance for tshuva. You know what you did wrong. So Hashem's not responding to you. That's what Shmuel was telling him. Vayiting Hashem, pasuk yates. Vayiting Hashem, gam es Yisrael imcha biyad pelishtim. And Hashem is going to give the Jewish people into the hands of the plishtim. Umachar ata uvanecha imi. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Gam es machane Yisrael yiting Hashem biyad plishtim. Also, the camp of Israel, Hashem is going to give over to the plishtim. So, Shmuel's final message is, tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be with me. And the Jewish people are going to fall at the hands of the plishtim. And that's the last thing he tells Shaul. Now, what does that mean, that tomorrow you're going to be with me? You're going to die, right? You're going to die. You're going to be... Not all the sons got killed. That's true. Okay. I guess the sons that were with him. So, yeah. Simply understood, it just means that you're gonna die. But Chazal tell us that it means something much more. It means, imi b'mechitzasi. You're going to be in my mechitza, in my section, in Olam Haba. That's what Shmuel was telling him. Not just that you are going to die, but you're going to be with me. You're going to go to the same place in Olam Haba as I do. So even though Shaul had, you know, a number of great errors, great sins on his list, but Shmuel tells him, you're still going to come to the world to come and be in the same section in the world to come as I will. Amazing thing, right? We think of Shaul sometimes as, you know, some guy, you know, right? He messed up, he did all these things wrong. Shaul was a tremendous tzaddik, and he is placing Olam Haba with Shmuel HaNavi. So the Gemara tells us in Brachos, Amar Rabba Bar Chinan Asaba Mishmei Derav, Kola'o said Dvar Avera Umispayesh Ba, the person does an Avera, but he's embarrassed afterwards that he did that Avera, he gets forgiven for all of his sins. Shenemar, so first it brings another source, and it ends up rejecting it, and then it ends up saying it's from here, Mehacha. Because it says, and Shmuel said to Shaul, Lama here, Gaztani, Lalosasi, why have you shaken me up to bring me back? And Shaul said, Hashem has left me. And he doesn't mention the Urim V'tumim. And why doesn't he mention the Urim V'tumim? Mishum dekatli lenov yirakohanim. Says the Gemara, because he destroyed Nov, the city of the Kohanim. And he was embarrassed. Rashi explains, he was embarrassed because if he mentions the Urim V'tumim, so Shmuel is just going to say, Shaul, you caused that. You caused that because you killed Noah Barakonim, so you're being punished that you didn't get an answer from the Urim V'tumim. But Shaul was embarrassed to mention. He was embarrassed for what he had caused.
He didn't actually mention it.
What? Right, he didn't mention it because he was embarrassed. No, no, it's not. It doesn't mean that if you're shamed. It means if you're embarrassed by what you did. If you feel embarrassed by what you did, you fear a sense of shame over what you did. So then, mochen la kol avonosav.
I thought the concept, I don't know if it was a rabbinical concept, like every third week, when the great prophet is, when somebody insults you, that removes your sins, and you could like answer.
Okay, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. Yeah, that's
This is just basically doing tshuva, being a bad.
That's letting things go. That's letting things go. That's a different chazal. Mavir al midosav. Someone who doesn't take things personally and lets things go. Mavir in la kol
pshav.
They
can see his thing there, but you know, and he has sources there. It's specifically about being shamed. Somebody
okay, this is to feel shame for your avera. If a person feels shame for what they did, the Gemara says mochun la kol avonosav. He gets forgiven for all his sins. And the Gemara continues, and it says, and how do we know that he was forgiven? Because of this pasuk, Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, Machar Ato Vanecha Imi. Tomorrow, Shmuel says to Shaul, you're going to be with me. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said about that, what does it mean you're going to be with me? Imi b'mechitasi. You're going to be with me within my section, in my mechitza. The Gemara has another source. The Gemara says, later, at the end of Shmuel Beis, there's going to be a story where there's a great famine, and the basically, David is going to have to go to the Givonim. When Shaul killed Nov, the city of Kohanim, he also killed a bunch of Givonim, who were servants. And they never really forgave it. So in the days of David, there was a great famine. And David came to the Givonim. I think the Navi told him, I don't remember how he knew to go to them. He went to them and he said, what do we need to do? And they said, give us the 7 sons of Shaul and we'll hang them and that will be the retribution. And it says in the Pasuk, V'hokanum l'Hashem b'giva Shaul b'chir Hashem. We will hang them in giva Shaul, the b'chir Hashem, the chosen one of Hashem. Says the Gemara, these Givonim who hate Shaul, do you think they're calling him the Bechir Hashem, the chosen one of Hashem? Could be. The Gemara doesn't understand it that way. The Gemara says they weren't saying that. They said, give Shaul a baskol. A heavenly voice came out and said, Bechir Hashem. He was the chosen one of Hashem. He was very special. He was very unique. He was a great tzaddik. He's not alive anymore. No, the Baskol, the heavenly voice, is testifying to the righteousness of Shaul and saying he's Bechir Hashem. You know, he may have had his mistakes, but he was a great tzaddik. So either way, we see that in the end, Shaul was forgiven for his sins.
So under the government's interpretation, the embarrassment doesn't simply absolve him of the sin for which he's embarrassed, but for all the other sins.
Good question.
There are many
exactly. So many Mefarshim ask this question. Yeah. All the sins? Maybe for the one that he's embarrassed of. But does it forgive him for all of the sins? So the Shita Mekubetzes actually has a version of the Gemara that says in his Girsa, his version, it says he's forgiving for the sins that he's embarrassed for. But the implication of the Gemara really is he's forgiven for all his sins, because it says, you know, he's imi b'mechitasi, he gets to be in my section in Olam Haba. So Rav Dessler has a piece on this in Michta Me'aliyah. Rav Dessler says that he says there's two ways that the Yetzer Hara functions. The Yetzer Hara functions in a revealed manner, and the Yetzer Hara functions sometimes in a hidden manner. Okay? Sometimes the Yetzer Hara will cause someone, you know, to just do something that's forbidden, just on purpose, deliberately. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara is tricky. It makes an Aveiro look, and this is probably the more common, it makes it look like it's not such a big deal. What's the big deal? Hashem doesn't really care if I do this. It's not so bad. Right? That's how the Yetzer Hara works. It tells us it's not a big deal to violate the mitzvahs. Learning Torah, not so important. You know, have a good time. So that's how the Yetzer Hara works also. Now, Rav Dessler continues, he says, why is a person not embarrassed when they do something wrong? Why are they not embarrassed of their sins? So he says, either it's because we just don't pay attention, we don't think about it, or because the Yetzer Hara, this is the second idea, that the Yetzer Hara tells us, what's to be embarrassed about? It's not so bad. Is it really so bad? Everyone else does it, right? The Yetzer Hara has its ways of convincing us not so bad. Nothing to be embarrassed about that you're doing Averos. But really, it should be, you know, absolutely the opposite. He says, through learning Musar, a person can change around their perspective and first of all, frame for us the severity of any Avera transgressing the will of the King of Kings, the Master of the World, the one who gives us so much. And secondly, you know, so it will cause us not to do Averis, and also not, and if we do, to at least be embarrassed of what we did. He then quotes our Gemara. He says, the Gemara says that if a person transgresses an Avera and is embarrassed, so he gets forgiven for all of his sins. And he points this out. It's not just for the Avera that he did, it's for all of his Averas. He says, what's the idea? How could it be that you get forgiven for all your sins? He says, the reason is because when a person is embarrassed, what we mean by being embarrassed for the Avera, we don't mean only, you know, you're embarrassed because what will people think of me? We're talking about where you have a shame before the Ribono Shel Olam. You have a shame before a God. If you feel ashamed before God for transgressing His will for one mitzvah, so that means you're ashamed before God for any mitzvah, for any trend. You're ashamed for transgressing the will of Hashem.
It's obviously not, because the Shaul is doing the divination.
This is after.
Yeah.
Okay, and whether that was an Avera here we talked about last week, it's not so clear that he did something wrong by doing this, in this circumstance.
So then he should have been forgiven for all they took.
So that's, according to this, he was, insofar as got him a good place in Olam Haba.
This is more than regretting, you know, that's
regretting. Right, it's not just regretting, it's feeling ashamed before Hashem for what he did. And he says, right, if a person feels shame, so he has part of that ideal, part of that sense of what it means to sin before the Master of the World, to feel that shame, and that can overflow not just to this specific Avera, but really to anything that a person does. It means a person has successfully changed their perspective in Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. They see Hashem before them. They realize who they're dealing with and the severity of how lowly we are and how great the Ribono Shel Olam is. And that transfers. It goes beyond just this one Avera. It goes to other Averas that a person does also.
So it's basically being embarrassed before Hashem. It doesn't have anything to do with people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He's embarrassed of what he did.
Klape the Ribono Shel Olam. Weren't involved since he never mentioned.
Right, right. It's all between him and God. Now, it's interesting, Rav Dessler points out, is there's another Medrash. The Medrash says that after this conversation with Shmuel, so Avner and Amasa, his general and, you know, high officer who came here with Shaul, they asked him, you know, so what happened? What did Shmuel say? So Shaul said, he told me that tomorrow you should go to war and you'll be victorious and, you know, you and your sons will be great officers. He lied to them. He said, Shmuel said I should go to war and be victorious. So So the Medrash says that this was Shaul accepting Midas HaDin. He wasn't going to tell them, you know, he said, if you go to war, you're going to die. Then they wouldn't let him go to war. And he understood that this was his Midas HaDin, this was his judgment, was to die in this war. And so he kept on, he kept going on. So Rav Dessler says, and the implication also is that part of his, from the Medrash, is that that was part of what earned him also this placing Olam Haba. So the Mefarshim ask as a contradiction, you know, which one was it? Was it that he was embarrassed, or was it that he still went to war even though he knew that he was going to die and he accepted the Midas HaDin? So Rav Dessler tries to bridge the two. Rav Dessler says that the idea is that he was so aware, he became so aware of what he was so shamed and so aware of what it meant to transgress the will of the Ribono Shel Olam that he was now ready to face Midas HaDin. I did this Avera, I have to face the consequences. I need a tikkun, I need a reparation, I need my neshama to be repaired and returned. So he's ready to go back to and he's ready to face the necessary judgment in order to earn his place in the world to come with Shmuel.
So he was forgiven. Why did he have to die?
Because he got a good section in the world to come. That's the idea of being forgiven.
Forgiven for all of Habar purposes, right. Not for all of Hasid.
Right. Right.
Did he kill himself, or he? Oh, he
yeah. So that's going to be. We'll get there. Yeah, but next semester. But yeah, he. How exactly he died is going to be a big topic.
So it's like we say on Rosh Hashanah, you know, and for a good life, but we see that tzaddikim die.
Right.
So it's talking about Olam Haba.
It's talking about Olam Haba. Yeah. Okay. Let's try to finish up here, and if we have time, we'll share another idea, but let's just get to the end of the parak. So, Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Vayimayer Shaul, and Shaul hurried. Vayipol melo komaso arza, and his full height fell to the ground. Vayira meod midivrei Shmuel, and he was very scared of Shmuel from the words of Shmuel. He was very scared that he was going to die. Right? Gam koach ohayavo, he didn't have any strength. Ki lo ocha lechet kol hayom bechol alayla, he hadn't eaten bread the whole day. Or the whole night. He hadn't eaten, he was very weak. Vatavo ha'isha al-Shaul. And the woman, the Balas Ov, came to Shaul. Vatera kinivhal me'ot. She saw that he was trembling. Vatomer elav. And she said to him, Hine shama shifchascha bekolecha. Your maidservant has heard your voice. Va'asim nafshi bechapi. And I place myself in my hand. But what that means, meaning she, I think, is saying I had placed myself in my hands, meaning I felt my life at risk. But I listened to your words as your dibarta Eli that you said to me, meaning I still went ahead and practiced the divination, the ov, at your word. Now listen to me. I listen to you. Now you listen to me. I'm going to give you some bread, and you have to eat. You're weak, Shaul. You have to eat. And then you'll have strength. That you'll go on the way. He refused. Vayomer, and he said, Lo ochal, I'm not going to eat. Vayifritzu vo avadav, and his servants tried to convince him. Vigam ha'isha, and also the woman, they worked very hard to convince him. Vayishma l'kolam, and he listened to their voice. Vayaka me'aretz, and he got up from the ground. Vayeshev alamita, and he sat on the bed. Vilo'isha egel marbek babayis, and the woman had a fattened calf in the house. Vatimayr vatizbacheu, she hurried and she shechted it. Vatika kemach, and she took some flour. Vatalash, and she kneaded it. Vatofeo matzos, and she baked it as matzos very quickly, right? 18 minutes. or less. And she brought it before Shaul and his servants. And they ate. And they got up and they went on that night. So that was the story of Baal HaSov. Shaul has been warned that he's going to die. There's three chapters left of Shmuel Aleph. We'll do them in Elul. Basically, what we still have to see is the next two chapters are going to go back to the scene of David and in his dealings with the Plishtim and the Amalekim. And then the final chapter, we'll learn about Shaul's death. But they're all pretty short chapters, so we'll...
Is there any reason why they lost the war by the Plishtim this time? They did win.